This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for June 27th, 2013. Today we look at the Bangladesh Accord on fire and building safety in the wake of recent disasters in the garment industry there, and how Walmart, Gap, and others are resisting signing that accord. To do this, they are employing former Senators Mitchell and Snow at the Bipartisan Policy Center to facilitate a separate, non-binding safety program. We spoke earlier with Bjorn Claassen with the International Labor Rights Forum Sweat Free Communities Campaign. He is based in Bangor, Maine. So thanks for joining us today, where you're going to give us an update on the Bangladesh Accord on fire and building safety, and talk about this alternative non-binding agreement that Walmart and Gap are putting forth through the facilitation efforts of former Senators Snow and Mitchell. So thanks for joining us today, Bjorn Claassen.
It's bizarre.
So talk with us about this Bangladesh Accord on fire and building safety, the progress that has been made thus far, and now this competing alternative that's being put out by Walmart and Gap, and how Mitchell and Snow are playing into this.
Yes, thank you very much, Meredith, for having me on to talk about this. The Bangladesh Safety Accord means that really for the first time, workers, garment workers in Bangladesh have real hope for safe and decent working conditions. It's really a revolutionary new way of looking at worker safety in the garment industry. It's a legally binding agreement that is between companies and Bangladeshi labor unions that has now been signed by over 60 companies in 12 countries. It requires the companies to participate in independent inspections of factories. It requires them to fix problems when they find problems in factories. It includes public reporting of factory audits. It has incentives for factories to participate in this so they're not just squeezed by the demand to upgrade their facilities and make them safe, but they also will be assured of having the financial wherewithal to do this because the companies must offer them the commercial terms that enable them to operate safe factories. And all of this then is within a legally binding commitment. So companies can really be held accountable by workers. This has never happened before in Bangladesh, never before in the global garment industry in recent memory. We have to go back several decades until there were before we again find these legally binding agreements between companies and workers and their suppliers, and that was then these jobbers agreements in the United States, but it was domestically focused. So I can take a step back and tell you why this is so necessary as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at the Bangladesh garment industry. Bangladesh is now the second largest exporter of apparel in the world. And before, the Rana Plaza incident, the industry analysts were all saying, well, within a few years, Bangladesh is going to overtake China as the number one producer in the world. They have 4 million workers, 4 million garment workers, and 5,000 factories. The industry is produces 80% of their export value. 80% these workers make.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole industry is built on the idea of low-paid and disposable workers. And so, the first report of a fire in a garment factory that I've seen is 1990. Since then, we have at the very least, and these are conservative figures from the English media, from English-speaking media, at least 2,000 have died, 4,000 workers injured, over 400 incidents, likely many, many more. You're risking your life if you work as a garment worker in Bangladesh. You work literally in death traps. The thing to remember here, too, is that every factory that has burned or collapsed during all these years have produced clothing for export to Western brands or retailers, and every single factory that has burned has been audited, monitored by these by either by the companies themselves or by the social auditing firms that they have hired.
And have presumably come up with an okay bill of health when they do their own monitoring, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. Sometimes they come up with an okay bill of health. The most famous recent example is the Ali Enterprises factory, not in Bangladesh this time, but in Karachi, Pakistan, which was certified to be compliant with health and safety standards, building codes, everything by, it's called SA 8000 certification, 3 weeks before this factory burned and 262 workers were killed. So that happens, yes. Sometimes the auditors just give them a clean bill of health. In other cases, companies just sit on their findings that, you know, when they find that this is a particular factory is an unsafe factory, they sit on those findings. They are under no obligations to share their findings with workers, with the government, with anybody who can do anything. And this is exactly what happened in the case of the Tazreen Fashions factory in Dhaka, Bangladesh, which burned
in November.
In November 2012, 112 workers were killed. Walmart had audited that factory many times. Walmart had given that factory what they call an orange rating, which means that they had found violations that they called.
You are listening to Radioactive. Our line was disconnected here, and we reconnected again with Bjorn Clausen with the International Labor Rights Forum, talking about the Bangladesh Accord on Fire and Building Safety. Go ahead.
So the problem with the auditing and that the companies have been doing is that they have adopted codes of conduct for their supplier factories that are voluntary and unenforceable. In other words, whenever the companies find a problem, they are free to walk away from it. They're free to ignore it. They're free not to tell workers or government or anybody about even imminent dangers. And this is what happened at the Tazreen Fashions factory, November 2012. That factory caught fire, killed 112 workers. Walmart had audited that factory. Walmart had found what they say were violations of the high-risk nature. So they gave it an orange rating, and eventually Walmart decided not to produce there anymore. But so they just left the factory, and and they... hello?
I'm still here.
Okay. So they just left the factory, but didn't tell workers about the dangers they felt. They didn't tell the government or anybody who could do anything about it. So workers died, and Walmart was just sitting on that information that they didn't share. So they can walk away. The other problem with social auditing that the companies do with the fire safety programs that they have is that they have no role for workers or unions in there. In fact, you know, workers are scared to speak up when they find dangers in their own workplace. In the recent example, of course, is when the Rana factory, the Rana Plaza building collapsed. Workers had found, you know, large cracks in the wall the day before the building collapsed. They were told by managers at that point that they had to come to work the following day, or they would be, you know, they would be penalized. They would lose 1 month of wages or something to that extent. And workers can't afford to lose 1 month of wages. They starve them. So they came to work, and 1,100 workers died. They are not free to speak up about problems that they find. And the companies don't have any role, you know, in their auditing programs, in their fire safety programs. They don't empower workers to speak up and have a role. And also another fundamental problem with the companies' programs is that they divide up the what they call the social compliance or corporate social responsibility functions of the company and the purchasing functions of the company. These are entirely different departments. So one department tells the factories, you have to comply with labor laws and with our code of conduct. The other part of the company tells the factory, lower your prices, produce faster, produce in high quality, or I won't buy from you anymore. Well, the factory are often left in a bind because they can't, because in order to comply with codes of conduct and labor laws, they need more money for the products. They need more time to produce. So, you know, what ends up happening is that the factories have gotten really good at basically fooling the auditors. They have, they lower their prices, they squeeze the workers so they get the orders. At the same time, they have been able to present an image of compliance, which usually is completely false. So that's the problem with the company's social auditing and fire safety programs as it is. And this is exactly what the Bangladesh Safety Accord changes completely.
And the Bangladesh Safety Accord is something, as you said, 50 retail manufacturers have signed, companies have signed onto. But are you saying what Walmart and Gap and some other U.S. manufacturers, retail companies are presenting is along the lines of these non-binding agreements that you just spoke of? A similar pattern.
Yeah, exactly. More than 60 retailers and apparel brands from 12 countries have signed the Bangladesh Safety Accord, including some of the largest companies in the world, like H&M and Inditex.
And this is all since the Rana building collapse.
Yeah, but it's also worthwhile to note, because the opponents, Walmart and Gap, like to call this the European Accord. It is not the European Accord. It's the global accord. There are five U.S. companies that have signed on to it as well. The very first companies that signed on to it is the PVH Corporation, which owns Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein and some other big brands. Abercrombie & Fitch has also signed on to it. So it's a global accord. You know, it includes Australian companies and Canadian companies as well. Not just European. And so the opposition to this accord is led right now by Walmart and Gap. While Walmart has been mute as to why they won't support it, but we can certainly speculate as to why they won't do it, Gap has been pretty explicit in saying, we would sign this accord if only it was not enforceable. If only it wasn't legally binding. They don't want, they don't want to be able to be held accountable. So they want more of this unenforceable, voluntary codes of conduct that they have developed over the last 15 years and that have failed miserably to protect workers in Bangladesh.
And so talk a little bit more about the legally binding aspect. If companies don't, you're in this accord, the original accord that 60 have signed onto, can you talk about some of those elements that are in there, the responsibility for factory safety that adheres to international safety standards, and then what that would mean if they did not adhere to those standards?
Right. So the factories, so the companies that are responsible for participating in the management of this program, they're responsible for financing the program, and they're responsible for ensuring that the factories that they use become safe. That means they need to participate in these independent inspections. So there's going to be an inspector that's hired that's independent. It's going to mean that they need to require the factories to fix the problems if they find problems. And as I said, they need to make it commercially viable for the factories to do that. The workers need to be given protections so that, if a factory needs to be shut down for a period of time while it's fixed, then workers will still be paid. If the factory closes completely, the workers that work there need to get, priority in hiring in safe factories and so on. So how does this work? How work? Well, there will be this whole program, the accord, will be administered by a steering committee that will include three representatives of the companies that have signed, three representatives of the unions, Bangladeshi and international unions that have signed, and the seventh person who will be representing the International Labor Organization. The steering committee will be empowered to make decision in case of disputes as to whether or not a certain company is doing what they have committed to doing. If need be, the steering committee can refer the case to arbitration. And there, and the arbitration decision in the final analysis could be enforced by a court, which the court would be of the domicile of the company in question. So if somebody's challenging whatever a U.S. company is doing, that the U.S. company is not following the terms of the accord, then in the final analysis, the arbitrator can make a decision. That decision can be enforced in a U.S. court. So that's what it means. That's how the accord is enforceable. And they don't. And the Gap and Walmart don't want this accord to be enforceable in courts.
Again, you are listening to Radioactive. We're speaking with Bjorn Clausen with the International Labor Rights Forum. He is based in Bangor, Maine. We're speaking about the Bangladesh Accord on Fire and Building Safety. Walmart and Gap have declined to sign on to this accord and are instead having an alternative arrangement facilitated with the help of George Mitchell and Olympia Snow. And talk about the speculation grounded in background about the Walmart in particular's dislike of this power given to the labor itself and potentially organized in union labor, even though there is a real lack of ability for labor to organize in Bangladesh.
This is of course speculation, but Walmart hasn't been particularly friendly to labor unions in this country. And so, we certainly believe that they're not very friendly towards labor unions in other countries and wouldn't want to be part of a legally binding agreement with other unions. As Walmart has always done in the international scene and as other companies have done in the national scene, they think it is enough. They simply want the public to trust them. They say they will keep these factories safe. We should trust them. Well, they have said that to us 15, 20 years. These factories have not been safe. We can't trust them anymore. We need to have something that is enforceable, and unions have to have a role here. Look at what happened in the United States when our factories, our garment factories, were also tinderboxes, were also death traps, the early 1900s, when the Triangle Shirtwaist factory burned, for example, in 1911. The Triangle Shirtwaist factory at that time was not unique. Lots of factories in New York, lots of factories in New Jersey had similar fire safety problems. 146 workers died then in the Triangle Shirtwaist factory fire. Just a few months earlier, 25 workers had died in a New Jersey factory. after the Triangle factory burned, the International Lady Garments Workers Union grew and became and was able to represent workers' interest in decent working conditions and fire safety. It was the ILGWU that had an incredibly important role in making the factories safe, in fostering new regulations and new laws to make the garment industry safe in this country. The same thing is going to have to happen in Bangladesh. The workers, through their unions, are going to have a voice. If they don't have a voice and can't speak up for their own interests and their own safety, then we cannot simply trust the companies because they say they're going to do better now.
Let's talk about the role of former Senators Snow and Mitchell. Walmart and Gap have reached out to the Bipartisan Policy Center, of which Mitchell was one of the founders and Snow is now a part of, to quote-unquote facilitate a new non-binding agreement, as it were, that companies would sign on to that did not want to sign on to the accord. Can you talk about that process and Snow and Mitchell's role in it?
Well, the process is not open. The drafts have not been seen by anybody. So we really don't know much more about it than what you just said. So let me just emphasize two things. This is a fire safety program amongst the retailers themselves only. They don't sign on to anything. They don't sign on to any agreement. It's not an accord. It's not the multi-stakeholder agreement even. just among, it's a unilateral agreement among the retailers themselves. The unions and workers have no voice in it, no role in it. So that's point one. And secondly, of course, whatever they will present, and we believe that they will announce something early next week, it's not going to be enforceable. It's going to be another voluntary program, and it's going to be commitments that they can't be held to. They're telling us that, well, you know, if they do walk away from their commitments, they're going to look really bad, and we can hold them accountable. You know, they can be bad in the publicity about them, and that's going to be the enforcement mechanism. Well, you know, we shouldn't have to shame them into compliance. That's ridiculous. So that's all we really know about it. You know, we think we really regret that they have reached out to our former senators, Senator Mitchell and Senator Snow, to facilitate this agreement for them. They describe themselves as facilitators of this agreement or mediators among the retailers. I think that Senator Mitchell and Senator Snow, they simply, they assume, they take it as a given that the retailers simply are not going to sign on to the Bangladesh Safety Accord and want to get the best possible agreement among the retailers that they can get out of them. We don't buy into that premise. We think that, often companies will say, no, we will never do something, and then there comes a moment when they actually do it. We believe that many U.S. companies will and can and will, in final analysis, sign the Bangladesh Safety Accord, and we also believe that that is the only accord, the only approach to saving workers' lives in Bangladesh. So we wish that, you know, Senators Olympia Snow and George Mitchell would actually tell the companies that they are working with right now, look, you have to sign on to the Bangladesh Safety Accord. This is an international agreement. This is a national accord. It's a monumental step forward in the, for the industry. And this is the only way that you can, you will be able to ensure that workers' lives will be saved.
And how is it, do you think, that the companies have reached out to Snow and Mitchell? Do you believe they're taking advantage of their reputations? They could have come up with some sort of agreement separate from reaching out to the Bipartisan Policy Center, but yet they've made efforts to purport this in the press that Snow and Mitchell are the facilitators of this process.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I can only speculate here. But clearly, you know, companies' credibility on these issues is at an all-time low right now. Nobody really believes that they are sincere. And unless they sign on to the court, nobody really believes that they're sincere about fixing the problems in Bangladesh. They know that. The companies know that. They are under tremendous pressure to regain that kind of credibility and legitimacy.
Because Gap and Walmart were specifically targeted for by an international campaign for not signing on to the accord. Correct?
Yeah.
And then they came forth with this particular plan after that.
Well, you know, Gap and Walmart has been under tremendous pressure, and other companies too, for several months. There have been more than a million people signing petitions to them. There have been at least 200 store actions around the country that have targeted Walmart and Gap. There have been so much negative publicity about the companies and about the social auditing programs that I just mentioned. There's so much skepticism among the general public about what they're doing to keep workers safe that they really feel on the defensive. And so I can only speculate, you know, they want to, you know, our former senators are known as independent and fair-minded. That's a reputation that they garnered in the U.S. Senate for many years, that Senator George Mitchell has continued to hone through his other activities after he was a senator. And I can only imagine that they would love to have Senator George Mitchell and Senator Olympia Snow stand with them and announce this new fire safety program to make it appear credible and legitimate, independent, fair-minded, and sort of to have their reputations, the senators' reputation, rub off on the companies. That's my speculation. I don't know why else they would have asked Senator Snow and Mitchell. I don't think that either one of them has any particular expertise in, you know, in worker rights or in fire safety or in Bangladesh. That's my speculation. I'd love to hear if that was not the case, that that's not why they reached out to them.
So where does your organization and those who are organizing internationally, including in Bangladesh, go from here?
We want to strengthen the Bangladesh Safety Accord as much as we can. This accord is, there's going to be an implementation plan announced soon. So we will begin, so the inspections and the mandatory remediations and so on will begin very, very shortly. After that, we want to see this Bangladesh Safety Accord as a new model for corporate accountability in the garment industry worldwide, where being accountable means that you're legally responsible for the working conditions and the safety of the workers in your supply chain. So let's start with the Bangladesh Safety Accord. Let's make it a success in Bangladesh. Let's expand it to other countries as well. Pakistan, I mentioned, has an incredible safety program similar to Bangladesh. Then let's look at other industries. Currently, the electronics industry, for example, the social compliance work that the companies is doing there is very much modeled on that in the apparel industry. Let's go to that industry. Let's develop a something equivalent of the Bangladesh Safety Accord for the electronics industry. Let's redefine what it means to be accountable for a company to say you have to now be legally accountable, be legally responsible for the conditions in the, of workers in the supply chain. For more information, to take action, to get involved, simply go to laborrights.org, and it'll be clear as to where to go. Sign petitions to Walmart and Gap, and get in touch with. You can also get in touch with me directly via email, bjorn@ilrf.org.
And we'll have to leave it at that. Bjorn Klassen with the International Labor Right Forum. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Meredith.
You've been listening to Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced programming at weru.org. Happy birthday to my mom, Judy.